everyone pretty much readily admits in this day and time that they were saved by grace. Did you make a decision to believe God, or did God make a decision to save you? Foreknowing, electing, and predestinating you to be conformed unto the image of His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scripture says, before the world began. That's the teaching of the Bible. This is a question with life and death consequences. And if you think for a minute, dear friends, that God desired to save you, but you had to add your will to the equation in order to be saved, then you believe in a free will works religion. And I'm confident now when I say that you, in your decision, will make that decision your salvation. I've seen it way too many times. As a matter of fact, I did that for years. I put some stock in walking down an aisle and saying a prayer and being baptized. And I knew the date, the time, the hour. That was my salvation until God showed me the difference. It's only He that makes a difference. I have decided to follow Jesus, men say. I made a decision on such and such a date. And if that is what you believe, the salvation was somehow dependent upon something that you added to the equation, then I tell you this morning plainly and simply that you're yet lost. Well, that seems harsh. God saves by grace and grace alone. Anything added to grace, grace becomes something other than grace. In other words, grace is a free gift that God bestowed upon you and caused you to believe. But I chose to believe, you might say. So isn't that a decision? No, that's grace. That's grace. People who claim to have made a decision are saying that God wanted to save them, but they had to help Him. That's what they're saying. You're saying that He couldn't save you apart from your will to be saved. If that's what you believe, you've yet to see the God of this Bible. That is nothing more than self-righteous thinking that endeavors to dethrone God Almighty. God saves whom He wills, apart from any involvement by the sinner. God said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Where in that passage of Romans 9:15, I'm asking you sincerely, where in that passage do you see your involvement in any way? Did God say, I will have mercy on those who will let me save them? He said, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. Did God say, I'll have mercy on those that give their hearts to Jesus? No, that's not what He said. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. He said, I'll have mercy and I'll have compassion, and on some I'll harden. To those of you that were in the Sunday school hour this morning, this is probably going to sound very familiar. And my text this morning will be from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. But if you would first turn with me to Ephesians 1, and while you're turning, let me say this. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath. Did you hear that? God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. What is the beginning that is spoken of in that verse? Well, it was the beginning of the beginnings. In Ephesians 1:4, look at it. According as He hath chosen us in Him, when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. God chose you before you were ever made. So what could you have had to do with it? Our Lord said in John 17:9, we read it a moment ago, I pray for them. Who's He speaking of there? His people. He said, I pray not for the world. What kind of God would love the whole world and die to save the whole world and then not pray for them? He said, I pray for them, those that He gave Christ before the world began. Pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine. We belong to God, friends. He's our Creator. He's the one that formed us. He's the one that gives us life and paid the sin debt by the death of His own beloved Son. Oh, we bought with a price and we belong to Him. and Him alone. So when did God get His people to Christ? Before the foundation of the world. Before the world was ever made. Now, some of you men know something about building, about building a house. And when a builder builds a house, what's the first thing that is done? The foundation. Before there is a foundation, the house has not been started. Now, you may have moved some dirt, cleared out a spot, but the house is built on the foundation. When they start building, the first thing the homeowner says is, "Hey, they started my house. They laid the foundation to my house today." God chose and saved His people in Christ before the foundation of the world was laid. So what does man's decision or man's will have to do with being saved? We were saved before the foundation of the world because Christ, now listen, Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, Revelation 13:8. And there will be some that say, "Well, but He only died 2,000 years ago at Calvary." That's true. It was over 2,000 years ago that they crucified the Lord of glory by their wicked hands. But in the mind and the heart of God, now listen to me, He was slain as God's sacrificial lamb before the worlds were ever made. And He was the sacrificial lamb slain for His people who were chosen in Him at that same time. What a mystery. What a mystery. And the child of God just believes it because God says it. You see, if it's in God's heart, it is His purpose and according to the counsel of His own will. And God elected and chose those that He would redeem. And my will and yours had nothing to do with it. Now, brother, why are you harping on that? Because to believe that is to have a false salvation. It's a matter of life and death. Who saved you? Did God save you or did you save yourself? It's a very important question. I love the passage in Psalm 115:3. I think on it often. But our God, He seems to distinguish, David does, his God from other gods. And rightly so, because there are a lot of little g gods that are preached today that aren't the God of the Bible. David said, "Our God is in the heavens, and He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased." I just love that wonderful truth. My God, the God of heaven and earth, He's in the heavens, and He does as He pleases, how He pleases, when He pleases, to whom He pleases. And I find great comfort in that. Don't you? And God was pleased to predestinate, choose, call, and redeem a people who hated Him without a cause. Christ Jesus came in the world to do what? Save sinners. And the Apostle Paul said, "Of whom I am chief." And believers will not argue that they made a decision or exercised their free will in order to be saved, but they will argue that when it comes to sinners, they're the worst of the worst. I've told you that many times, but you know it to be so. When God shows you your sin, reveals to you the depth of your depravity, we know because we live with ourselves. We know what comes forth from the heart. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the Scripture says, who can know it? Well, we can't even know it as we ought, but God can. And God does. And thank God He takes out that stony heart and puts within us a heart of flesh that believes Him, believes His Word. Salvation's of the Lord. By grace are you saved through faith. I did a wedding one time several years ago at a big Free Will Baptist church. And I'm not picking on Free Will Baptist churches. I attended one all my life. So I feel like I have somewhat of a right to say this. There was a big banner hung across the door that said, "Let go and let God." Let go and let God. Let God? How are we going to let God when He does what He pleases? That's contrary to everything in the Holy Scriptures. Everything. Do men and women really believe that they can let God do something? Can we give God permission to save us? That's what men say. Well, you know, God has cast a vote for you. Satan's cast a vote for you. The final decision is your vote. Your vote makes the difference. Now, you vote right and you let God save you. That's not my God. My God has mercy on whom He'll have mercy. Grace means unmerited favor, undeserved favor. Let's don't make that harder than what it is. What some men call grace is not grace at all. And if salvation depends on something that you have done, then it's not unmerited and it ceases to be grace. and it becomes works. Men and women by nature love to hear about works religion. They just do. You know why? Pride. Because it endeavors to take all the glory away from God and put it on themselves. Now, I want to consider just for a few minutes this morning two verses of Scripture. And this is what Paul said or wrote by the divine inspiration of God. Turn over a page to Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians 2. Look at the first six words. For by grace are you saved. For by grace are you saved. Saved by grace. Through faith. And that not of yourselves. Do men and women just skip over these verses? Do they just read them without giving any thought at all to what they're saying? That is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man boast. I'm going to tell you something, friends. This is my hope. I only regret that I can't tell you with more of my heart, that I can't show you with more zeal and knowledge. But I will tell you, this is my hope. And I'll tell you why the best I can. I don't want to be saved by works, because my work then requires perfection, and I can't provide that. I want to be saved by grace. God requires of me what I cannot provide. I don't want to be saved by works. I want to be saved by grace. This is why I love grace. Grace is Christ doing for me what God requires, and which I cannot do. I cannot do what God requires. I don't have the ability. And salvation, it's the free favor and grace of God who saves us. Let me ask, why should any despair? Seriously, you think about that. If salvation be altogether the free favor and grace of God and Christ alone, who among us should dare despair? If salvation be of mercy and grace only, it is clear that our sin is by no means a hindrance to our salvation. You see, now if God required justice because of our transgression of the law, and if you desire to try to keep the law to be saved, then your salvation is utterly impossible because you can't do it. However, if the Lord deals with us in grace and in mercy and says, I will forgive them freely, then that very promise is given to me regardless of my sin. Oh, I wish I could explain it like it deserves to be explained. If the Lord speaks of mercy, that very word proves that we're guilty. Who needs mercy but those that are guilty? Grace is God giving the sinner what they don't deserve. I don't deserve grace. That's what makes it grace. It's unmerited. It's undeserved. I don't deserve it. That's why it's grace. And mercy is not giving me what I do deserve, which is condemnation. The justice of God and my offending of the law justly should send me to hell. But mercy is God not doing that. I want grace and mercy, don't you? That's what gives me hope. The very statement that we are saved by grace strongly implies that we are fit objects for grace. And who are fit objects for grace but the guilty, the wretched, the condemned? The law stops our mouths. The scriptures say all the world comes guilty before God. There's not a one of us that does good. There's none righteous, no, not one. We all need grace. We all need it. The law stops our mouths and makes us silently own up to the fact that we're guilty before God. But the gospel opens the mouth of the dumb by declaring that Christ died for the ungodly and that he came into the world to save sinners. If mercy comes to me by the sovereign will and purpose of God, dear friends, then sin is swallowed up in forgiveness, and unworthiness ceases to be an obstacle for God's redeeming love. I want to be clear here. I want to be comforting. If we're saved by grace, as God through Paul declares, then regardless, now this is important, please hear this, then regardless of how horrific our sin be, it's not the issue. It's not the issue, for in divine mercy and sovereign grace, my sin is forgiven. It's forgiven in the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the issue, for in divine mercy and sovereign grace, my sin is forgiven. Forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He laid down His life, shed His blood. Being perfectly holy and righteous, He became sin for us. Then at the same time, God gave us in Him that perfect righteousness and holiness that He required. That's substitution and that's salvation. There are many who are in deep despair, even as we speak, who, if they could get a hold of this blessed message of grace, could and would be set free once for all. But there are many who desire and struggle to be redeemed, but with terror in their conscience, there arises just maybe one particular crime, one particular sin that closes the gates and shuts them out of salvation. So they think. They say, oh, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter if I know. God knows. But dear sinner, it cannot be so. Salvation be of grace. Because whatever the sin may be, regardless of what the sin is, its greatness will only serve to illustrate the great grace of God. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Undeserved mercy can pardon one sin as well as another. Undeserved mercy can pardon all sin. Every sin. If God acted on the rule of merit, now listen, if God determined salvation to be on the rule of merit with us, then no sin would be pardonable under any circumstance. But when He deals with us in the way of grace, He can pass by any offense for which we seek forgiveness. There's nothing that God cannot forgive. Nothing that He will not forgive if you ask His forgiveness for it and trust Christ to have paid your sin debt. Tell me, Galatians 4:21 says, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Don't you hear what the law is saying? Other than pride, why would anyone desire to be under the law when God has given grace in Christ? Why would anyone? Only pride is the only reason I can think of. I'm going to work this out myself. Yeah, you can't, and you won't. Do you not hear the law and its demands of perfection? Do you really desire to seek mercy at Mount Sinai? I don't. No, sir, not me. By grace, I'll look to the Christ on Mount Calvary, where He prays in agony and pain, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's grace. If salvation be of pure mercy only, why should not God forgive 10,000 sins as well as one? And one old preacher said, the Lord's mercy is a sea which cannot be filled. Though mountains of sin be cast in its midst, it's like Noah's flood, he said, which covers all and drowns even the mountaintops of heaven-defying sins. Christ died for all the sins of all His elect throughout all time. The old songwriter wrote, depth of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me? Yes, sirree. Yes, sirree. There's mercy still reserved for you. You see, in this thing of salvation, God gets the glory. Man doesn't get the glory. Man doesn't deserve the glory. Man didn't do anything. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, let me just speak to you about this for a minute or so. There are some here this morning that have not yet seen sin as a horrible condition. There are some here this morning that trust in their morality. They're kind and friendly folks. They're forgiving and merciful to others. They're generous, always willing to help those in need. They don't talk bad about folks. Always looking for a kind word to say. But Christ, the great physician, did not come to help those in spiritually good health. He came to help the sick. He did not come to call the righteous, those good in their own sight, but sinners to repentance. Those that are well have no need of a physician, our Lord said, but those that are sick. Don't let your morality, your goodness, stand in the way of grace. Men and women are saved by grace. Look at our text again. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. To see yourselves as basically good You're saved by grace. Grace is for the wicked. Redemption, complete reconciliation to God. Being brought back into fellowship with God is not in and of yourself. It's God's gift to you. Not by works, lest any man should boast. Two men went up to the temple to pray. You know the story well. One was a Pharisee and one was a publican. One was the most religious, moral, highly respected in the Jewish circle of religion, and the other was a tax collector who cheated and stole. But they both went up to the temple and prayed. And the Pharisee stood, and the scripture says that he prayed thus with himself. I don't believe God heard him. He was praying with himself. And what did he say? He said, God, I thank you. He didn't say, I thank you for your grace and your mercy, which redeems me, and Christ doing for me what I cannot do for myself. He began to thank God and say that I am not as other men are. I thank you, I'm not like other men. Be like me saying this morning, Lord, I am so thankful that I'm not like Glenn. That's just hypocritical, isn't it? I thank you that I'm not as other men. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. Or even this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I'm a good and moral person. Didn't come to call the righteous. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Is what our Lord said. And the publican, scripture says, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as eyes unto heaven. That's so with God's people. We're undeserving and we know it. We know that we don't deserve it. Therefore, we don't boast in any works that we've done because we have done no works. We can do no works that would merit God's satisfaction. But this old publican, he smote on his breast. I can just see him, can't you? It's like he's saying, Lord, take out this old heart of mine and give me a new one. Oh, take it out. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, if that's your prayer this morning, you've got a good hope. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Our Lord said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Friends, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Are you a sinner? If God has shown you that you're a full-fledged, good-for-nothing wretch, then His grace is for you. And it's by grace through faith that you're saved. That's what our text tells us. God's grace gives us the faith to believe. Isn't that amazing? For by grace are you saved through faith. It's grace that God gives in order for us to have faith to believe it. And now to sum up all in a word, there is no circumstance or incident, not anything connected with any man or woman, that can shut him out of the hope if he seeks forgiveness through the Savior's blood. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That can keep you from being reconciled to God, except unbelief. I will not have him to rule over me. Whoever you may be, regardless of what you've done, grace can come and save you. Do you want grace? Do you desire grace? Do you see your need of grace? Let me ask it another way. Do you want Christ? Grace is found in him. Do you desire Christ? That's where God's grace is. Do you see your need of Christ? Guess what? I've got good news. If you answered yes to those questions, then you've already received grace. It took a work of grace in your heart to be able to say that you want Christ, desire Christ, and see your need of Christ. God's already done a work of grace. Isn't that wonderful? Only God can give grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for those that the Father gave him, and he will lose nothing, no, not a one, he said. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. You're safe in the shepherd's fold, friends. You're safe. No chance of being lost. No man can pluck you from the hand that holds you in sovereign power. Always remember, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. For as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? When God saves you by His grace, these are my last words, you're going to hate the sin that you're now dead to. You are. You're going to hate it. The child of God hates their sin and they love their Savior. You know why? Because He paid their debt. I owed a debt that I couldn't pay. He paid a debt He didn't owe. You see, I needed someone to take my sin away. May God give you the grace to trust Him and Him alone.